morning and welcome back to the Sea Air Country 45 Feel Good Friday edition. It is also Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C. And seeing as there are a couple hours ahead of us, we'll be actually getting...
Well, it's the day that many people thought would never come. On an election that seemed like it would never end. On a person who many thought could never be elected. But the day has arrived. Today is Donald Trump's election day. And while I've tried not to rub in the fact that I did feel quite a while ago that he was going to be the nominee and going to be elected. Even to me, it seems like absolutely surreal. And it's just, it's incredible. Many people predicted that Barack Obama would never leave power. And of course, he has not left power yet. But there were many, many people out there who believed in conspiracies, who believed in... believed that the country had been so taken over from the top to the bottom by leftism that there would be no way that there would be a transition of power to Donald Trump from Barack Obama. And even before Trump ran, there were many rumors out there that were stating that the country was going to be taken over and turned into a giant internment camp, and there would be FEMA camps, and there would be, there would be no rights left, Constitution torn to shreds. But the inauguration is here, and it is just kind of unbelievable. So anyway, glad to spend the morning with you on this one. And anyway, if you remember spending time around each other, hanging out with each other, talking on the air about the different candidates, about the debates, Hillary and Trump, and at no time did it ever seem like a given that there would be a Trump presidency. And even till today, the anti-Trumpers, the never Trumps, the people that are opposed are still legion. And wow, it feels surreal. Feels absolutely surreal. But anyway, there are some takeaways here, and one of the takeaways is that stick to your guns, believe in what you believe, hang in there, and good things are going to happen. And to this day, Hollywood has been totally opposed to Trump. The mainstream media has broken itself, has broken its own ability to make money and take part in society, lying about Trump. Of course, the academia has gone crazy. The world elites, very upset, the globalists. So we've got all this going on. Got somebody who happens to be a billionaire, but you have got a chance. We have got a chance to turn it all over. Obama leaving the White House looks tired. Looks a little bit. What I would call him, maybe a little bit disoriented. I'm sure never thought that Trump would get elected. As a matter of fact, he said he never, ever saw this coming. Leaving the United States about $10 trillion more in debt. And which is $75,000 per person more owed. His last phone call to Merkel, his last official phone call to world leader was Merkel. The other hyper-partisan liberal for immigration, for Muslim immigrants, who is probably the world leader that he's closest to. Remember when Bush came in, or pardon me, when Bush left, he was wildly booed after the media had spent almost its entire last 4 years booing and tearing him up and ripping him to shreds, misusing the press box, the newspapers and the media to tear him down, to try to, you know, and what was the purpose? The purpose of that was to destroy not just Bush, but to destroy the Republican Party itself, to destroy conservatism, even though Bush wasn't much of a conservative. Anyway, here's a little bit of Lee Green from the party last night, the Trump inauguration party.
Just my children and my wife.
We'll be back. AM Los Cruces 523-1450. Kelly O'Connell and 805-6180 to text. Happy Trump inauguration.
Forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. Sing it! God bless the USA.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Well, Kelly, congratulations. This is your great day. This is the day you waited for. I mean, I'm glad somebody's happy. It might as well be you, huh?
Well, thank you very much. How are you doing today?
It's not the best day I've ever had. It's kind of sad, but you're right. You know, I was, not just me, all the Democrats were quite cocky about that. The night of the election, I thought I would see the end of the Republican Party as we know it.
Wow.
And instead, I saw the end of the Democratic Party as we know it. So, isn't payback a bitch, huh?
Well, I mean, the Democrats can still, you know, adapt and...
Oh, yeah. I mean, what do you... We're Americans, too. You know, we're not just Democrats. We're Americans who, as much as I hate that man... And I will hate that man till the day he dies, and I hope he does not die in office. I'm still an American, and I want to see good. I want to see everybody thrive. I don't want to see us in war. So,
Well, I'm about on the air. Did you want to say anything?
No, not a bit, but anyhow. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Well, I just got a call from Kathy. A very gracious call, considering the circumstances. And congratulating on Trump. We still don't know what kind of a president that Trump is going to be, but we do know that the idea that there's going to be a continuation, a third term of Obama's. Time in office is not going to happen no matter what. And I don't know. It has felt like for a long time that there was change in the air. And I think ever since Trump started kind of taking over he was taking over the whole primary election. It seemed like something was going on that, you know, I don't know how else to say it, but I think that, you know what I mean when I say it just seemed like something changed, and it changed forever when Trump got up and started challenging some of these people, and he went after some people in the party and went after some ideas that seemed to be totally sacred to the Republicans, and he went after the Bushes, and he went after McCain, and he went after Romney, and he went after the Iraq War. He did things that really caused people to open their eyes, and I think that's one of the big reasons that he ran, as he stopped apologizing and protecting a lot of the stuff that people were tired of. Most people think Iraq was a mistake. It may have been a sincere mistake, and George Bush may have had noble motives, but it didn't really play out too well. He also was not afraid to go after Obama himself, and he went after the Clintons. I think people saw all of this stuff, and it caused them to have hope that there could be somebody coming on into office who would take on all of these things that people hated, like political correctness. And even Kathy, I'm sure, who's more liberal than the average listener, is going to say she doesn't like political correctness, and probably Frankie too. All right. Here's from the Washington Monthly, 523-1450 to call in and share your opinion. But it was a gracious call from Kathy. She didn't want to come on air. But the fact of the matter is that she did say you were right, and congratulations. And I wish the president doesn't, you know. Well, I'm sure that she wishes the same thing that anybody would have wished on Hillary, that they would do a good job in office and help America. All right, here's from the Washington Monthly, things that changed under Obama. He passed the Health Care Reform Act of 2010, also known as Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, covering 32 million uninsured Americans, and which is apparently on the verge of being canceled and replaced. And the person who worked on it was Ron Paul, who was a ophthalmologist. He's a medical doctor. They passed Wall Street Reform. They signed the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act to regulate the financial sector after its practices caused the Great Recession, tightened capital requirements on large banks, etc. Some people thought that was a real mistake, and that could be either reformed or removed. Ended the war in Iraq. All of the troops left in December 18, 2011, began drawdown of war in Afghanistan from a peak of 100,000 troops in June 2011. Forces are down to 91,000, with 23,000 slated to leave by the end of December of 2012. So this is a little bit old, but I wanted to cover some of the things that people who support Obama would say were achievements. He eliminated, he killed Osama bin Laden in 2011. He turned around, this is from the Washington Monthly, turned around the U.S. auto industry in 2009 by injecting $62 billion in federal money on top of $13 billion in loans from the Bush administration for GM and Chrysler. In turn for equity stakes and agreements for massive restructuring. Since bottoming out in 2009, the auto industry has added more than 100,000 jobs. Recapitalized bank, so obviously Treasury Department, approved a controversial private capital agreement in the midst of the Great Recession into the country's largest banks via stress tests of their balance sheet in a public-private fund to buy their toxic assets. All right. Repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell and toppled Muammar Gaddafi, told Mubarak to go, one of the chief allies that we had in the Middle East. And Muammar Gaddafi had become after being a complete enemy of the West and the United States, and had shot down or had bombed down the plane in Lockerbie, had become one of the chief allies and the gatekeeper of Africa to keep people from coming in, Muslims from emigrating. Reversed the Bush torture policies, improved America's image abroad. I'm reading this, folks. Don't get aggravated. Kicked banks out of federal student loan program, expanded Pell Grant spending, created race to the top with $4.35 billion program of competitive grants to encourage and reward states for education reform, boosted fuel efficiency standards so that now the F-150 is made out of aluminum, coordinated international response to financial crisis with $500 billion for the IMF, passed mini stimuli. He also passed the major stimuli, which was $1 trillion, began Asia Pivot in 2011, tightened sanctions on Iran, and then gave it all away, created conditions to begin closing dirtiest power plants, new EPA, which shut down the coal industry to a certain extent, passed Credit Card Reform Act, eliminated Catch-22 and pay equality laws, protected two liberal seats on the U.S. Supreme Court. Good boy, Obama. Improved food safety system, achieved new START treaty, expanded national service, Serve America Act, expanded wilderness and watershed protections. Thank you for taking all our land down here. We really appreciate that. Gave the FDA power to regulate tobacco. Push federal agencies to be green leaders. Oh, my goodness. Passed Fair Sentencing Act in 2010, which reduced the sentencing disparity between crack versus powder cocaine possession from 100 to 1 to 18 to 1. Began to post 9/11 military build down, taking down the size of the military. Let space shuttle die and killed planned moon mission. Thank you, Barack, for saying we didn't have enough money to do that when we were $10 trillion over budget. Invested heavily in renewable technology. Crafted next-generation school tests. Whatever the heck that program is called. Cracked down on bad-for-profit colleges. Improved school nutrition. Avoided scandal. Whoa. You know, Fast and Furious, I guess Washington Monthly never heard about that. Created recovery.gov, looking for fraud and abuse and stimulus spending, which I think also was fraud and abuse. Pushed broadband coverage in 2011, Federal Communications Commission approved of $8 billion subsidy away from landlines and toward broadband internet for low-income rural families. He's always looking out for you guys. I expanded health coverage for children, recognized the dangers of carbon dioxide, decided to stop inhaling it in his private time, expanded stem cell research in 2009, provided payment to wronged minority farmers. I wonder if he did that in Zimbabwe. 49 helped, where all the farmers were white, helped South Sudan declare independence. Well, that was nice of him. Number 50 killed the F-22. Whoa. Those cost $358 million apiece. Though the military had built 187, the plane has never flown a single combat mission. I got to look that up now. Is the F-22 flying? So anyway, those are the things that any right-thinking, that's the Raptor, of course, stealth fighter. Those are the things and this is from June 14, 2016. The Popular Mechanic says that why the F-22 Raptor is such a badass plane. So, but we're not building new ones. All right, so those are the things that Obama did that you can celebrate. If you're pro-Obama, like three or four of you might be, we'll take a little break here and come back and focus on the inauguration. Thanks for the call, Kathy. Really appreciate it. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and 805 6180. A day to remember.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.
It would be nice if Frankie called in and congratulated us, but he may not have come to grips with it as well as Kathy has yet, who is still pledging, I should add, in a footnote, pledging eternal hatred for Trump. But maybe that will, over the next few years, will kind of mellow into just a plain hatred and not an undying commitment for total hatred and loathing. Here is the schedule from One American News Network, the schedule of the inauguration.
His stunning presidential win, and as he continues to form his administration, Donald Trump is set to be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. Inaugural events will officially begin on January 19th, with both Trump and Vice President-elect Mike Pence laying a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery. The ceremony will then be followed by a welcome celebration concert at the Lincoln Memorial. Trump's inauguration will carry the same theme as his campaign.
And we will make America great again.
On Friday, January 20th, Trump and Pence will be sworn in on the steps of the Capitol at noon, officially taking over the presidency. And as in past inaugurations, the two will participate in a parade down Pennsylvania Avenue and attend inaugural balls, including one saluting our armed forces and first responders. On Saturday, January 21st, President Trump and Vice President Pence will attend a national prayer service at the Washington National Cathedral. They will also attend several dinners in honor of the new presidency and cabinet secretaries. Trump's presidential inaugural committee says the incoming president is committed to unifying our country, as he has promised during his campaign and victory speech.
I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me.
Sani Unitoa, One America News.
Well, he should be in everybody's prayers, and Kathy said she hopes that he does not come to harm during his presidency. So in the same way that it would have been a bad thing for Obama to have been harmed, no matter how much you disagreed with him, it would be bad for anything to happen to Trump. I mean, you know, even Obama came in and said that you know, Trump won a lawful election. And that he has the right to govern as he chooses. So here is a little bit on the Secret Service and the inauguration, speaking of harm. And there was, CNN put out this really bizarre segment on what would happen if Trump and all of his cabinet was wiped out, what would happen next, and how if it was before noon that somebody from Obama's cabinet would still be able to be president, which was just, you know, weird. But then CNN is such an evil network. Here is a WBAL-TV, Baltimore, on the Secret Service and the inauguration.
The security plan for the 58th presidential inauguration, built from scratch, and most of it being kept under wraps for obvious reasons. But the Secret Service, the lead agency in the locking down of our nation's capital next Friday, was very happy to share this.
This is not a good day to test Team Secret Service. No day is a good day to test Team Secret Service.
The response and plan behind it has been in the works since at least last April, according to D.C. government, includes federal, state, and local law enforcement, and is based on historical crowd data, meaning this team is planning on at least a million visitors. Visitors who will encounter what the Secret Service calls 360-degree security.
So that's land, sea, air, and space, and cyberspace.
An environment patrolled by thousands of pairs of well-trained eyes. D.C. says it's doubling its police force by bringing in an additional 3,000 officers from around the country and 5,000 National Guard members from 42 states, 500 of them from Maryland. Their job? Help with crowd control and monitor the perimeter of security zones. Zones in which the Secret Service has banned selfie sticks, big backpacks, glass containers, and drones.
The threat of drones in particular, and UAVs, UASs, I'll say this very clearly, it's illegal to fly drones in and around any of the inaugural areas.
It is all year round. Expect metal detectors and bag searches at controlled checkpoints and along the Pennsylvania Avenue parade route. All of the traffic lights and signals will be taken down, all in the name of security. Live in the studio tonight, I'm Kate Amara, WBAL TV 11 News.
All right. So what predictions do you have? What predictions do you have for the presidency? If you're liberal, feel free to call in 523-1450 and 523-1450 to call in there, or 805-6180. Here's a little more. Well, let's take a little break here. Segue time. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180. What a day, huh? What a day to experience and tell your future generations about.
Detroit down to Houston, in New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
It's Kelly. Who's this?
This is Becca.
Hey, Becca, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I am really, really happy.
Yes.
And about the inauguration. And I wanted to tell you that my family, we are celebrating with filet mignon and baked potatoes and everything imaginable just to have a feast for this joyous occasion.
That's better than deep-fried bologna.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So we are celebrating. I'm very happy.
Very nice. Did you want to come on the air and talk about it?
Yes, I could.
Okay, I'll put you on hold. It'll be about, let's see, about a minute and a half, okay?
That's fine.
Thanks, Becca. Well, folks, we do have a call from Becca, who's Becca. You might want to. You have any radio on? Might want to turn it down. But Becca is called in to talk about how her family is going to celebrate the Trump inauguration and the change in presidents.
Yes, we are, and we are very excited. We're going to celebrate today. Have filet mignon and have a wonderful day. And I wanted to mention that something interesting, a relative of mine who wasn't happy about Trump called me on the phone and said, you know what I think? I think Trump is going to be the guy who they bring in to do the dirty work. And the dirty work meaning that he will get things straightened out. And his relatives said, you know, Hillary and them wouldn't do that. But he's a business person, and he said sometimes they bring a person in to get everything straightened out.
Well,
and
are you saying that there's some mastermind over everything who decided that Trump was coming in, the so-called they? In your sentence, there is a group even beyond the elites that's pulling the strings?
Well, fair election, and I think this is what the people wanted, and that they want things straightened out in the government. I think they're worried about the debt and jobs, and I think that clearly Trump will fight for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's you know, he hasn't really apologized for anything since he started running, so.
He will get the job done, I believe. He will.
And
I think it'll be a great thing.
Yes, and Becca, fortunately, well, I was going to say they chose Hillary because she had already gotten the dirty work done before she started running.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very dirty.
Yeah. And I, you know, I still believe that in the future that Hillary will have problems because of what she did. I don't think you get off scot-free.
Well, probably not. But I mean, hopefully she doesn't go into a coma, have another conniption during the inauguration. She should be awake to enjoy the whole thing. Anything else, Becca?
No, that's it. And have a great day.
You too, Becca. Congratulations.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, a little celebration there. I think Kathy may be going on a hunger fast to celebrate it. Sackcloth and ashes, I believe, is the phrase. All right, what should we expect? What should we expect for this this day here? And let's see, hold on a second here. Okay, Trump inauguration, what to expect from Rebel Media.
Year of campaigning, 26 debates at the primary and general level, sleepless nights of Twitter rants and attack ads. We're finally here. The eve of Donald J. Trump's inauguration and swearing in as the 45th president of the United States of America. And the Rebel.media is here, literally right here outside of the White House to cover it all for you. All right, I want to give you a little bit of a tee up of what you can expect from our coverage here on the ground in Washington, D.C. Event planners are saying about 900,000 people are going to gather outside of Washington, D.C.'s National Mall tomorrow. Why are they going to be there? Well, because there are some pretty big events happening. At 11:30 a.m. Eastern, we're going to see Donald J. Trump actually take the oath of office. He'll be sworn in as the president.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Following
who's
that,
this?
He will deliver his inaugural address.
Michael.
That's really the crown jewel
Michael,
of why folks
put
are
you
descending
on
Washington
I'll be
this
just
week.
Done with
we're being
this
told
second,
that
right?
Trump has written his inaugural address pretty much all by himself. And the message from it is not going to be rearward looking. It's going to be forward looking. And it's going to be a message of unity. Following that, we're going to have the inauguration day parade that's going to be marching down Pennsylvania Avenue, and it's going to land right here at the White House. Now, one thing that you get really, really obviously in your face as soon as you land in Washington is the security level that is on the ground right here. We know that threats have come in everything from ISIS to what was revealed through the Project Veritas, work of James O'Keefe. 28,000 security personnel are on the ground. They fanned out across Washington, D.C. right now from the federal, the state, and the local levels. I'm feeling pretty safe right now. We see a lot of pro-Trump support out here, a lot of Make America Great Again hats. We're seeing some Thanks Obama signs as well, but so far, all is well. We do know, though, tomorrow's probably going to be a different story, so security is going to be on high alert from now throughout Friday and, of course, Saturday as well. You can count on us at the Rebel.media to give you the other side of the story of what's happening here on the ground. My colleague Lauren Southern, she's going to be covering a lot of the protest angles that are down here, giving you what...
All right, so we do have protesters, but we also have Michael Swickard. Hold on one second, Mike. Another call. I'll be right back to you in about 10 seconds. Thanks for the call. Kelly O'Connell Show, who's this?
This is Pat, and I just have to make a quick call.
All right, hold on, Pat. Hold on. We'll be right back to you. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, the thing we have to do, Kelly, is frame today correctly.
Go ahead.
And what I mean by that is the fact that this, you know, we don't know anything about Donald Trump other than the fact that he's a media hog. And he got elected because he recognized we're all media hogs. And every day he said something outrageous because then the media gave him all that free advertising. So the question will be, you know, what's he actually going to do? And everybody who's been writing what they know he's going to do, they're fools because we don't have any idea what he's going to do until he actually goes and does it.
Yeah, but we do. We have a history of giving people the benefit of the doubt, right?
Well, actually, it's not the benefit of the doubt. It's what George Burns said when they asked him, "How's your wife?" He said, "Compared to what?" And this whole election, everybody has lost sight of the fact this whole election was compared to what? I mean, you know, I would have voted for about 1,000 other people other than Trump, but I sure as heck wasn't going to vote for Hillary. So that's the compared to what?
He might be a heck of a president. You never know. I'm looking out for a great presidency here.
Well, and the thing is, can he be a better president than Hillary would have been? That's the real question.
Well, if she was in a coma, I would say that's two thumbs up.
Well, yeah, the government that is not in session is the best government. Yes, I'm with you.
All right. Michael, I'm running out of time here. You can call back in the next hour if you want to add on to your analysis.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good day. And we've got Pat here. Pat, are you there?
Yes, and it has to be quick. I do believe if you like Trump or not, or his personality and his how he talks, I think God is the one that had a hand in it. And that's all I have to say.
Certainly God had a hand in one, and Satan had a hand in another.
Boy, you got that right. Thank you, Kelly, for what you do.
Thanks, Pat. Well, remember I was ungraciously called Hillary our national demon. Shame on me. But who knows? We'll be right back. 651 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, Inauguration Day. All right, so next hour, let's call in with your predictions for what's going to change, what's going to happen. In the meantime, America 101, what happens on Inauguration Day from the History Channel.
Congratulations, America. You've got a new president. The new president isn't actually official until the inauguration at noon on January 20th. That's the exact date and time called for by the 20th Amendment to the Constitution. It all begins with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court swearing in the new president. The tradition of placing the right hand on the Bible was started by George Washington. However, three presidents have opted to do without a Bible: John Quincy Adams, Franklin Pierce, and Teddy Roosevelt. The band plays Hail to the Chief. Then there's the inaugural speech.
My fellow citizens.
The inaugural speech sets the tone for a presidency, and if they're done right, inspire generations. During his second inaugural address, Abraham Lincoln sought to stitch the nation back together. With malice towards none, with charity towards all, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds. He would be assassinated barely a month later. JFK passed the torch to a new generation when he said,
"Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country."
After the speeches, the day ends with an inaugural ball, a tradition started by President James Madison and his wife, Dolly. While all this is going on, the White House goes through a complete transformation. In just a few hours, all the former president's belongings are removed and the new president's furnishings are moved in. By the end of the day, when the new commander-in-chief walks into the White House, it will seem like they've always been there.
All right, man. All right, so here's a little bit more inauguration, good, bad, and weird.
Technically, constitutionally, only one thing really has to happen on inauguration day. The administering of the 35-word oath of office as close to noon as possible.
I, Harry S. Truman, do solemnly swear.
I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That oath marks the transfer of power. It's so serious if a single word is out of place. It's not really valid. One of history's biggest inaugural floods.
Rock H. Obama.
2009, when the Chief Justice mixed up some drinks.
Faithfully, the President's office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States, faithfully.
It was mangled enough the next day President Obama had to retake the oath. Beyond that formality, all else about the day developed as a mix of tradition, carnival, and patriotism on parade. At times, it's been a little crazy. 1829, Andrew Jackson fancied himself a populist, the first outsider president. So he opened the White House to the people for a party. It was a bad idea. 20,000 drunkards crowded in. He escaped out a window. Thankfully, the day has evolved a bit since then. The real business begins after the outgoing and incoming first families have coffee together at the White House. It can be awkward. Then as they head to the Capitol, moving trucks swoop in. In just under 6 hours, the Obama's possessions will be removed and the Trumps brought in. New carpets, couches, maybe a lick of paint. Nothing too extreme, there are rules. It is a dramatic, emotional transition, and it all happens in private. What the spectators will see is all show. Concert, parades, speeches, all intended to reflect American ideals and a bit of the president's character.
Mr. Carter was in a walking mood today.
In 1977, Jimmy Carter tossed aside the idea of a presidential convoy. He walked the entire 40 minutes from the Capitol to the White House. He wanted to stress the simplicity. Now, President Obama, like a few others, did get out and walk a bit, but no one ever accused his inauguration of being simple. It broke records for expense and attendance, more than 2 million.
All right, so running out of time on this, but looking at the pomp and circumstance of bringing in the new presidency, it seems like a true revolution is at hand, or at least a civil revolution, a peaceful revolution. It's kind of exciting. I think everybody has at least a sense of drama. 659 Kelly O'Connell, keep those calls coming in. I want some predictions on the presidency, good and bad. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450, 805-6180. And we'll be back after a break on the hour.
Right.
And 7:06, it is Inauguration Day, and there's so many things we could talk about, but focusing on really the inauguration and, wow, man, I don't know what thoughts are in your mind, but in my mind is it's a time of transition. It is a time of absolute joy and thrill for people who are of a conservative or libertarian, or of people that are upset with, you know, let people on the left, liberals, and such that are unhappy with the direction that the country has gone in. It all begins today, 45 to be sworn in at noon live. If you go to Dredge, you can pick that up, that link up there. But 45 new politicians, including public servants. Of course, there's a lot of protest out there. And so what's going on in Washington? And here is a little bit on the journey of Trump. Very brief clip from Krauthammer.
The paradigm, not only in campaigns, but it seems in transitions as well. And he's likely going to change the paradigm for what we have always expected from a president, right?
Well, his presidency, if the past is any indication, is going to be nothing like previous presidencies. The direct communication with the public through Twitter, the lack of political correctness, the idea that he would make new foreign policy off the cuff in a transition period. The transition was the most remarkable I have ever seen. I mean, he became essentially the president and was acting like when he made the dollar slip just a couple of days ago with a single tweet. So he knows what is within his power. But I want to reemphasize, the unity issue is going to be a big one. And here I blame the Democrats. They are, I mean, before he's being sworn in, a third of them are not going to show up to what is supposed to be a glorious moment in our civic life. And this is the rawest partisanship, apart from the fact that he's got the lowest popularity numbers, which I'm not sure really matters. He's got the highest partisanship index coming from the other side that I have ever seen, and they intend to make this rocky. So it's going to be a challenge right from the beginning.
All right. So there is this there's this idea out there that if people could protest in the right way, I mean, I don't even know what the exact theory is, because I don't think that a lot of people have even thought this thing out. But they went and talked to some social justice warriors about this. And, you know, this kind of mindless group of people. Here's one of these protesters.
And I fully support imposing martial law, delaying the inauguration until Trump is cleared of all charges. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Do you think that we should, or Obama should, impose martial law and halt Trump's inauguration?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why do you think so?
I just think that a lot of people have, like, conflicting views right now, and I think it needs to be cleared out until everybody can kind of, I mean, give him any support that they're willing to give him at this point.
Martial law would be a good way to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, in other words, these social justice warriors want martial law imposed until people are willing to support Trump, if they're willing to support Trump. You know how crazy of an idea that is? We'll just throw the law out the window and just base it on people's feelings. Here's a guy that tried to burn himself up.
I was trying to light myself on fire.
Why were you
as an act of protest. As an act of protest.
Protesting what?
So protesting the fact that we've elected somebody who is completely incapable of respecting the Constitution of the United States.
You're going to kill yourself or at least spend the rest of your life badly burned in absolute agony every day if you survive, because your impression of Trump is that he doesn't respect the Constitution, but he's not even been in office yet. People are nuts. Now, here's a little bit on from John Voight on calling out the mainstream media for a barrage of propaganda.
Dear friends, fellow Americans, I'm so honored to be here to welcome you all to the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We have all been witness to a very grueling year and a half for the president-elect. We have been witnessed to a barrage of propaganda that left us all breathless with anticipation, not knowing if God could reverse all the negative lies against Mr. Trump, whose only desire was to make America great again. He certainly didn't need this job. And yes, yes, God answered all our prayers. Because here it is. We will be part of history. All of us. And President Lincoln, who sits here with us, I'm sure is smiling, knowing America will be saved by an honest and good man who will work for all the people, no matter their creed or color. So, my friends, let us rejoice in knowing that from this time on, we will see a renewed America. The spirit of America is perhaps best captured by one of our country's most beloved patriotic songs, written over a century ago, America the Beautiful. And here to perform his own version of this truly American classic is a Grammy Award-winning rock and roll Hall of Fame member and a soul music legend. And it gives me great honor to introduce the legendary Sam Moore.
All right. So anyway, that is from John Voight, the Academy Award-winning actor. And here is a little bit from, see if I can get this. We'll take a break here. 523 1450 AM Las Cruces. Kelly O'Connell. The guide to today's inauguration.
Hours from now, Donald Trump will take the oath of office as the country's 45th president.
Today's transition marks a moment in American history. A billionaire businessman, not a politician, will become the country's next CEO and commander-in-chief.
First News national correspondent Alex Schumann is live in Washington, D.C., where the crowds will be pouring in from all over the country. So, Alex, what's the mood like in the Capitol this morning?
Good morning. There's a lot of anticipation. The inauguration is, of course, a tradition here in D.C., but today certainly feels different. than it has in the past. Now, we are waiting to see how many people are going to show up to take part in today's festivities, and we'll, of course, be watching closely to see what Donald Trump does just moments after he takes the oath. The stage is set. Security is tight, and in a few hours, Donald Trump will become America's 45th president. Arriving in D.C. on Thursday, Trump is wasting no time making himself at home. His staff gave us a preview of what we'll hear in his first address to the nation.
It's going to be a very personal and sincere statement about his vision for the country. I think it's going to be less of an agenda and more of a philosophical document.
By late today, Congress and the new administration will be moving fast to roll back several of President Obama's executive orders and legacy policies. But some Democrats tell us they hope Trump offers an agenda open to all Americans.
That he stands up and says, I understand 55% of the public voted against me, but I'm their president. I want to work with them.
But today is not all about work. Mr. Trump will enjoy front row seats to a parade in his honor, several balls across D.C., and of course the unique experience of walking into the White House as a resident for the first time.
We are all ready to go to work. In fact, we can't wait to get to work for the American people to make America great again.
The president-elect will be heading to the White House this morning to meet with the Obamas before they depart together for the U.S. Capitol. The swearing-in is set to begin at 12 noon on the dot, with Chief Justice John Roberts leading the ceremony. Reporting for WKBN 27 First News, I'm Alex Schubert.
All right, and here is a little bit about the nuclear football and that giving the president the codes.
Your screen of Arlington National Cemetery. That's where we're waiting for Donald Trump to arrive in the next hour or so to lay a wreath. Sometimes in the next 24 hours, though, before he takes the oath of office, Trump will be briefed on the nuclear codes for the first time. The codes follow the president 24/7 in a 45-pound nondescript black satchel known as the nuclear football. Trump's briefing will include the step-by-step procedure for using those codes and ordering a nuclear attack. Here was former White House Chief of Staff Andy Carr talking about that briefing earlier today on MSNBC.
It is a sobering experience to go through because you realize that people will carry out your command and they will execute. They will do what they're asked to do. So that is sobering.
Joining me now, Max Boot, Senior Fellow for National Security Studies from the Council on Foreign Relations, also author of Invisible Armies, an Epic History of Guerrilla Warfare from Ancient Times to Present. Max, talk to me about what this means to get these nuclear codes. You just heard Andy Card say it was sobering. Josh Bolton said pretty much the same thing to me just a moment ago. How enormous is it to be handed over basically the keys to destruction of civilization?
Well, obviously, I mean, when you put it that way, it's a pretty enormous responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, the President of the United States is the most powerful person on the face of the world, capable of destroying hundreds of millions of lives.
It's Kelly, who's this?
With a few words and the push of the few buttons. That's a sobering
who's this?
Awesome responsibility that I hope and trust that Donald Trump will take as seriously.
Tony?
As all of his predecessors have.
Let me put you on hold, and I'll bring you on in just a second, okay?
There was a lot of concern about whether he would take it seriously. A letter signed by 10 former nuclear launch officers warned that the person who holds them needs to have composure, judgment, restraint, and diplomatic skill. There were certainly questions about Donald Trump having any of those things. Do you believe that he's proved himself more in the lead-up to the inauguration?
Well, I don't think he's proved very much in the lead-up to the inauguration. I think it remains to be seen. But it's not just a test for him. It's also a test for his team. Because.
All right, so we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call. We've got Tony here. What's going on, Tony?
Oh, I was just cruising to work and wondering how many public schools are going to shut down and have all the students go to the gym and watch the inauguration like they did for Obama in 08 when I was teaching.
Zero.
I was just, wondering if it's such a big deal for the libs to celebrate Bush the way they did Obama.
Democracy is, our form of government's important to a lot of these people. If the right person's elected, if not, throw all the rules out the window. You heard the social justice warriors saying that the president, Obama, should And he should assert martial law right now until everybody's ready to accept Trump.
Yes, I guess we'd be in martial law till the day we die, and or Obama dies, according to that premise.
Yes.
And I was also, my daughter goes to college at Gallaudet College in D.C., and they shut down classes because they were concerned about the protesters.
Yeah. Well, I do. I do have a little clip here on the protests. Anything else?
No, like I said, I was just curious, thinking about when in 08 when I was teaching, probably how they spooned and jeweled over Obama.
Yeah, probably none. Thanks for the call, Tony. Have a good inauguration. Thanks a lot. All right, here is Keith Olbermann expressing his bile, his bitterness over and asking everybody to protest. By definition, Obama or Trump is a bad person, and Obama was a good person. Isn't that easy to figure out ahead of time? Didn't work out very well, did it? Got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Jeff.
Jeff, wait, it's been a while, man. Where you been?
Oh, I have a prediction.
I like how you never really have a conversation, Jeff, but go ahead.
Oh, I've been busy. I predict that the new Treasury Secretary and Trump will not release into circulation all the dollar coins already minted, let alone make Japanese like $7 and $10 coins or any other large denomination coins.
You seem to have a real fixation on mnemonics.
Yeah, numismatics. And I have another comment about this Treasury Secretary that they were interviewing.
Yep.
On the news before you came on. I thought he said the Treasury Secretary elect or whatever candidate, he can't speak English or he's a smart aleck because he says nothing could be further than the truth. And I just looked in my dictionary and I was right because it goes, nothing could be farther from the truth.
What's the name of this person?
The guy that's going to be the Treasury Secretary. I think he was a Goldman Sachs,
Munchen.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I'm reading this book about foreigners like this Leo Szilard or Szilard that was a friend of Einstein that he came up with the fission atomic bomb, and I've never even heard of him, but he's from Hungary, and he grew up learning French and German, and then he came to the United States because he was a Hungarian Jew.
All right, all right. Yeah, Jeff, you're getting way off track here, but anyway, the Hungarian lizard helped create the nuclear bomb. But Jeff, thank you for the call. Have a great inauguration. All right, I can only handle so much. All right, so here is your loyal or disloyal, however you choose to see it, opposition. Please feel free to call in with your predictions. They should be bigger than the claim that we're going to slash the number of bed bugs in half or something, or not put pennies into circulation or whatever. Come on, man, step out on a limb. Give me a real, prediction. Here is the idiot known as Keith Olbermann, who's had 1,000 jobs.
Olbermann, and this is the resistance. Boycott the inauguration. It's very simple. Don't go. Don't watch. Don't tweet. Don't respond. Don't spend money on it. Don't spend one brain cell on it. Depend upon this. If the Bible leaps from his touch or the authorities arrest him for violating the Logan Act, you will hear about it. I'm headed for Los Angeles to be on Bill Maher's show inauguration night. We will give you the info. And if you are an elected Democratic official, under no circumstances attend. I don't want to hear about you working with him unless you're working with him to move to the Caymans. I want to hear about your plans to impeach him or force him to resign. An exception is offered to President Obama, although later, sir, I think you will regret having had anything to do with this man. I believe in forgiveness, Congressman John Lewis said. I believe in trying to work with people. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult. I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president. I think the Russians participated in helping get this man elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. I don't plan to attend the inauguration. You cannot be at home with something that you feel is wrong. I think there was a conspiracy on the part of the Russians and others to help him get elected. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not the open democratic process. Correct.
All right. That's summing up with the opposition's position in a nutshell. Keith Olbermann definitely needs a mental health. All right. So we'll take a little break here. 7:30, call in with your predictions. Please make them big predictions. 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. Kelly O'Connell and Las Cruces. And today is the 20th. It is Inauguration Day. Congratulations, President Trump.
Sweet America, God shall his grace on me. And crown thy goodness with brotherhood from sea to sea.
It's Kelly.
Hello.
Who is this?
This is Chris.
Chris, what's going on?
How are you today?
Well, not too bad. How about yourself?
Well, I'm pretty happy. I'm done with the last 8 years. I'm looking for a fresh start in the next, hopefully, 8 years.
I hear you.
I'm just, my prediction is.
Wait, Chris, you're not, Chris, you're not on the air. Let's save it for the air. Let me put you on hold.
Okay.
We're talking about, let's see, about 3 minutes. Can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. So you'll be on hold. Thanks. There's no music. Thank you. Okay, and we've got we have Chris here, and Chris has some predictions for the coming days and years of the Trump presidency. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. First, I predict that CNN will get even wilder with their false and fake news after the prostitutes in Russia, and now they have floated the idea of a assassination of both Trump and the vice president.
It would be actually the whole cabinet, I think. But I mean, yeah, I heard about that.
Oh yeah. So they will get even worse. So I predict that they will. You haven't seen the worst yet from them. The next thing I predict is that Trump will Trump's presidency will be pragmatic. It will not be political. He is apolitical in that sense, in that he will look at a problem, look for a solution to it, and come up with a pragmatic one, not some strange, politically twisted idea on how to handle that problem. And that, in turn, will bring America back to the forefront of being the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
I like it. I like it already. Anything else?
That's it. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, Chris. Thanks for the call. Have a good inauguration. All right, folks. Now let's get to. Okay, here. I want to get everybody's opinion out of here. Here's Waters World interviewing people that may not be happy with the inauguration.
What's with all the hate against Donald Trump?
We've not taken the time to stop and really evaluate the reason behind him winning.
Isn't it because he won the Electoral College?
I think I hear my mother calling me.
I think they need to give him a chance.
Give peace a chance.
Yeah, that's it. And I believe that you should support the United States president despite your political beliefs.
Why is everybody hating on Donald Trump?
They believe he's a racist. They think he's going to cause war.
Okay, let's just relax for a second.
Aren't you going to give the guy a fair shake?
No, not really.
No?
I would actually rather walk him through the street than talk to you.
Okay.
What a woman.
Why does everybody hate Donald Trump so much?
I don't hate him. I think he's probably doesn't use his words very well.
Do you hate Donald Trump?
I don't. Hate is a strong word. I don't really hate Donald Trump.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Leave me alone.
Do you hate Donald Trump?
I don't hate anyone.
Even if they're boycotting the inauguration or saying nasty things about the president-elect?
Well, isn't this a free country? Some people are very frustrated and some people are very happy. It's the way it is. It's democracy.
Trump is your president, too.
I don't feel it.
Don't you want to just release all that hatred from your heart?
All right, so anyway, a little bit of negativity, but there are a group of people that are coming in, and what they wanted to do was shut the entire inauguration down, of course, and whether they could do that or not, I guess we might as well do another break and catch up on our ads. I've got some weather for you here, and then I'll come back when we come back, I'll have another weather for you out of California. It is unbelievable. Well, I called my sister last night, and she lives outside of San Francisco, but in that part of the state. And she said that all the ski resorts up in the Sierra Nevadas up above San Francisco outside of Reno are shut down, and that Mammoth has more snow on the ground than they've ever recorded. And she said there was so much snow, if you can believe this, the snow was covering the towers that carry the ski lifts. The ski lift chairs. So the snow is so high, you couldn't go skiing up there because you'd have no way to get up the hill because the snow is over the ski lift. And so we've got a couple more feet, at least, if not 5 to 10 more feet of snow coming in. So you're talking about massive amounts of snow that none of us could really fathom. And it's still going on. So anyway, we'll be right back. An article in the New York Post, Seth Lipsky, Democrats' real fury is over their own collapse. And he talks about in here that although that there is a total resistance to Donald Trump, he talks about then the fact that everybody who's serving in office has to declare themselves a supporter of the Constitution. That there's this total resistance to Trump. Why are the Democrats so bitter? Why are some 50 members, now 61, of Congress vowing to boycott the inauguration? Why is the California hiring a former attorney general to fight the new administration? Why weeping and wailing? The most persuasive theory has nothing to do with meddling by Russians or the bad acts of James Comey of the FBI or the crustiness of Trump's campaign or his personal behavior. Rather, it's almost psychiatric. It's because the Democrats have destroyed their own party, and they don't know what else to do but throw a fit. I'll get to that in a second. We've got a call. Thanks for the call. Kelly O'Connell shows this.
Hi, Kelly. This is Bob.
Bob, good morning. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I used to be a Cruz supporter, and actually I had Trump about number 16 on my list of choices. But I have joined, and I think we're going to see a great 4 years. I think he's going to seal up the border. I think that'll be one of his first actions. And after that, I hope to see some major tax reforms.
Yeah.
And I think that'll put the country back on the right track.
Yeah, I think that this guy is going to I mean, I think that there's a Donald Trump that's out for display that makes points, and I think there's a Donald Trump then who's behind the scenes, who's arguing and making deals, and I don't think they're the same person.
I don't either. I don't think anybody ever achieved his level of success in business by being a fool.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's great. And the economy is going to grow, according to you.
Oh, I think so. Big time.
Very nice. Thanks for the call, and happy inauguration.
Oh, it will be. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. All right. Let me get to this article here. Seth Lipsky. So he talks about his old, a guy that used to do the editorial at Wall Street Journal. And he says that this guy wrote about this too, that basically the self-identity of the Democratic base is still wrapped up in Vietnam, which started as a liberal war with JFK. And so basically when they fought that war, they kind of lost their identity. And I'm trying to see where he kind of sums this up. Basically, all right, so here it is in a nutshell. Think about this. You lose something that you thought was yours, you become very bitter. So this guy who is now passed on, Wall Street Journal editor Robert Bartley. Bartley comprehended that the Democrats' fury went beyond politics and must have deeper subconscious roots. His theory was that they were unable to deal with the sense that they were losing their birthright. What he meant was, as he put it, base Democrats think of themselves as the best people, the most intelligent and informed, the most public-spirited, and the most morally pure. If that's what it's stake, no wonder they're so devastated. So they're the good people in this country, and they've got the right to run the country, and the fact that they've been shown the door has led to an astounding loss of confidence, and they're throwing tantrums, they're bitter, they're wailing. Nobody had the right to take that from them. Now here's a little bit on the resistance at 747, flying those friendly skies on inauguration day. From Alex Jones, InfoWars.
In a grand display of arrogance, the growing number of Democrats boycotting the inauguration has reached 61.
The inauguration's not about Republicans. It's not about Donald Trump. The inauguration's about America. Why would you abandon America? Why would, if you're a member of Congress, if you worked that hard to get to be part of the system.
Yeah, but they're trying to score political points.
Yeah, but all they're doing is making themselves look small and silly.
I'm just trying to tell you about things that this new president, who you disagree with, has said and ask you, do you agree or not? So he says, and I'm quoting, we'll empower cities and states to seek a federal disaster designation for blighted communities in order to initiate the rebuilding of infrastructure. Are you against that?
I just said to you earlier that was for infrastructure. I stated that clearly. Up
we're for financial reform to make it easier for young African Americans to get credit. Probably for that, too, I would think, right?
Well, hey, I'm open for that, too.
There you go. Look, I'm not here to say Trump's going to do all this. I'm not here to say Trump's great. I'm merely here to say you're just telling me you want to find common ground. You haven't bothered
exactly.
to read what the guy has said. I'm throwing some things at you and suggesting that maybe you've got more in common than you think.
And to add to that monumental hubris and poor sportsmanship of the failed Democratic Party, in an unprecedented report, Mockingbird Media's right arm, CNN ominously toyed with the idea of the possibility of a major catastrophic event, or at the very least, Donald Trump's assassination during the inauguration.
Tonight, due to a quirk in America's rules for succession, questions remain about just who would be in charge if an attack hit the incoming president, vice president, and congressional leaders just as the transfer of power is underway. Adding to the confusion, by noon Friday, all of Obama's cabinet secretaries are expected to resign.
So far, the protesters have made good on their threats, as an LGBTQ dance party was in full swing in front of Vice President-elect Mike Pence's Chevy Chase residence, as promised.
We are here and we will dance.
Protesters are being bussed in for a day of complete chaos and have promised terroristic level disturbances, beginning with the gassing of the deplorable tonight before the inauguration and the disruption of the Metro rail system.
Yeah,
flipping kind of butyric acid. I don't care how big the building is, it's closing. It's staying closed for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And this stuff is like very efficient. It's very, very smelly, lasts a long time, and a little of it goes a long way.
The original time we could use is all that same stuff. Then I can break the cans with a plunger, with six rubber bands, got a safety pin thing. So all you gotta do is pull the pin, press the plunger, the whole pin discharge. The best possible location to get to it is the air intake grill for the entire HVAC.
All right, so and those are the plans of these people to totally destroy any chance for Trump to have his inauguration day. So is it really true your candidate doesn't win, you have to destroy the candidacy, the tenure of the next person? How is that American? All right. 3.75 hours. I'm going through your texts. How many grads can write? I teach at DACC and absolutely hate grading papers. Love teaching, though. Many students can't punctuate properly and struggle with sentence structure. I do not teach English, but I help them with it a lot. And you cannot learn how to write if you don't read. Just a fact. We've got a call. Thanks for the... Sorry if I missed your call there. Call back. All of this is... Oh, here we go. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Yes, good morning, Kelly. This is Edward. How you doing?
Good, Edward. Hope you're well. And thanks for your call. And it's been a little while since we talked. What's on your mind?
I know. I was just going to tell you, it's going to be a great day today. I'm very excited that we have a new president, and I'm proud and I supported him all the way. You know, as we speak, my sister she lives in Washington, D.C., and she's part of the inauguration. She volunteered during the election. She was a poll watcher, and today she's going to be helping with the inauguration. And we're all excited. I think he'll be a great president. You know, actually, I think you will see within the first week, he will do more than what Obama has done in the past 8 years to destroy this country. And I think by the end of his term in 4 years, everybody talks about Reagan. I think he will do more than, he'll be an icon in the future. Even I think he will do more than what Reagan's legacy has done.
Wow, that's good news. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the prediction. Have a good inauguration.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right, folks, we'll take one last break here and be right back. On Inauguration Day, we've got on another continent, heavy freak snowfall in the Sahara Desert turns massive sand dunes into sledding paradise. And here is that weather that I promised you from the West Coast. And this is from...
What a cutie. I think she's really excited about all this. Weather.com. End up helping the drought even more in California. Either that or she's just happy that she's getting pulled around on a sled. And there's been plenty of opportunities to do that over the last several weeks with a lot of storms coming into the West. And yes, the rain has helped the drought. The snowpack is building up. It's getting really solid. And that's going to end up helping the drought even more as we get into the spring. Now, we've got another winter storm that's on tap after the one that's already affecting you guys right now. This is Winter Storm Corey. This is the one that's causing all the weather you're getting right now. But there's another one that's coming in right on its heels. And it might even be stronger. Look at this one. There it is. All right. You see that's Monday. So it really starts to materialize on Sunday. And it's going to drop some pretty heavy snow in some of those same spots in the West early on in the week. And then it progresses into the Midwest as we get into the middle part of the week. So another 2 feet plus of snow up in the high terrain. Watch out, especially down in SoCal. Some of those forecast numbers for the rain totals that we're expecting are a little bit on the high side. I'm not going to go in detail about numbers quite yet, a little bit too far out in the Midwest, but we have pretty decent little snow.
And we are predicted to get up to an inch of rain from that. And I heard somebody say yesterday we could have snow by the weekend. And here is the late weekend storm right here.
Oregon might wind up being the most winter fatigue city for the 2016-2017 season. And the Tuesday closure of I-84 in both directions between Troutdale and Hood River, that's just another example of why folks in this area have already grown tired of winter. The snow, the ice, it's been crippling travel, of course. And keep in mind, Portland averages just a couple of days each winter with at least an inch of snow. But multiple winter storms have definitely done a number in this area since December. Plus, it's been one of the coldest winters on record so far, only being topped out by the winter of 1978 and 79. So all we can say is hang in there, guys, and know that
global
your winter
warming.
Season is definitely
global warming.
Getting noticed.
Global warming does not compute, does not compute. All right, don't forget about Cafe Go-Go. I'm going to be there this weekend playing the piano Friday and Saturday. Cafe Go-Go. Unbelievable burgers. New food on the menu every week. Tasty appetizers right across from Sam's Club. Go check it out. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your calls and your predictions. Even the ones involving dollar coins, which I don't think I still understand, but whatever it's called, numismatics, study of coins. All right, folks, Inauguration Day, support your president. Weren't we supposed to support Obama no matter what? I mean, anyway, congratulations, Donald Trump. Congratulations, all of you patriots out there that support the presidency and the Constitution, and especially those of you who believed in the Trump he's in now. In just an hour or two. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell. See you back in 2 days. Ciao.
I got my, hear my tears.